Edyta Zarębska, The Snail Mountain, narrated by Edward Dixon. As the silver globe that cradles the ocean's water slowly tilted towards the west, an orange orb emerged from behind the horizon in the east. Everything that seemed only a shadow a moment ago began to take color and shape. Here, every morning, the sun began its spectacle, revealing volcanic mountains and smoky geysers against a pink sky, timidly illuminating the rocky terrace where the guardians of this magical world, like walking statues, spread their huge wings. They flexed their scaly skin, and with every little movement showed their power and beauty. Dragons, for this is who we are speaking of, greeted a new day with a symphony of sounds, a mixture of cheers, yawns, thumping of tails, and stretching of numb wings. One of them was Draco, a teenage dragon who didn't quite know yet what he wanted to do in life. At first, he wanted to fly as high, as far, and as fast as possible, but for some reason, nature gave him slightly smaller wings than the other dragons. Nevertheless, Draco could fly. Not the highest, not the furthest, but he could. All he has to do was to take off with a run-up. Then he wanted to reach the top of the highest mountain in the volcanic world, so that after climbing it, he could soar above the other dragons, if only for a moment. But when he met Neela, the kindest dragoness under the moon and sun, he only wanted to be with her. Especially since Neela didn't mind his small wings and big dreams. They were inseparable. And Draco increasingly got the impression that with her he was reaching better heights, as if she was giving him wings. One particular day promised to be a bit different for Draco, who, full of excitement and positive thoughts, was getting ready to meet Neela. Today they were going to explore new, undiscovered corners of the volcanic world, and he loved the unknown. They met on one of the deserted dragon terraces, from where there was an amazing view of hot springs, shrouded in steam, that formed a band of clouds against the pink sky. "Let's go!" cried Neela and pulled Draco up, as if she took flight. It was an amazing flight, as every now and then a different landscape appeared before their eyes, from volcanic craters to sand dunes and the boundless ocean. Suddenly, a strong gust of wind started pulling Draco to the ground. He was losing control of his flight, and his wings, too small to pull him up, didn't help. He was falling. "Neela!" he cried, but heard no answer. The swish of the air muffled all other sounds, and darkness appeared. When he woke up, he was lying at the bottom of the chasm. He was surrounded by rock wall and snails walking up and down, obvious to his presence. The sky above him was now a tiny, distant speck, an unreachable point, the only window into a world he felt he had lost. After a long time, he saw Neela in the sky, in a panic, followed by Dragon Mother and other dragons. Neela tried to fly down to him, but the chasm was so narrow that she could barely fit in between its walls. "Ah!" he groaned, feeling a severe pain in his back. The uncontrolled flight and rubbing against the rocks while falling caused him to lose a lot of scales. He felt a burning sensation and incredible pain. "It's good that you are in one piece. Well, almost in one piece," whispered Neela, applying petals of fear flowers to his wounds. But it didn't seem to help Draco. And every touch caused even more pain. He felt himself getting more and more angry. He wasn't sure if he was angry at Neela for touching him, or at the pain, or at the mere fact that he was here, and because his wings were too small, he wouldn't be able to fly high enough to get out of this place on his own. "Now everyone will pay attention to my wings," he groaned quietly. "What did you say?" asked Nila, applying a petal to another wound. "Nothing," he hissed angrily, and immediately felt terrible as Nila moved away. "Are you in pain?" "I am, and I want to be left alone," shouted Draco. "All right," she replied. Only as he watched his friend fly away did he realize that he didn't want this at all, that he didn't know what was happening to him. In fact, he wanted her to be with him. And preferably, that he wouldn't be there at all, or at least that he could fly away with her. But he was left alone, as he had wished. The other dragons left too. Suddenly he heard, "I want to be left alone, left alone, left alone." It echoed off the rocks. It was him, his voice, which now seemed even more hostile to him. "Who am I?" he groaned in despair, leaning over a small puddle next to him. But the reflection he saw in it looked just like him. "Who am I? Am I? Am I?" it echoed. "Stop it," Draco shouted angrily. "Nila is not coming back," he groaned and burst into tears. "She is not coming back. Coming back. Coming back," the voice echoed. Draco felt great sadness. He felt sorry for Nila, because he had never yelled at her before. This feeling hurt more than the wounds on his back, because he did not know what was going on with her now. He wanted so much to see her again. Then he heard the flapping of wings. He looked up hopefully. It was Dragon Mother, who had brought him food. He was happy, but also disappointed, because it wasn't her he was waiting for. "We'll get you out of here," she said quietly. "How on earth?" Draco asked. "Earth, earth," the echo replied. "I don't know yet," she whispered. Draco felt angry again, and tears came to his eyes. This was not the answer he expected. He wanted a solution. He wanted certainty, not hope. On top of that, Nila wasn't coming back. And anger was rising in him more and more. He flapped his wings vigorously, toppling over the bowl of soup the Dragon Mother had brought. The dragoness remained silent, only gazing at him with sad, concerned eyes. Draco felt even worse. Now he felt sorry for Dragon Mother. He imagined the effort she had put into preparing the food, and now she must have felt. And how she must have felt now, seeing it all wasted. "I'm sorry," he whispered. "I know you are," Dragon Mother said and wrapped her wings around him. "I don't understand what is happening to me," he groaned miserably. "You're scared, Draco. You're just scared. Because you don't know how to get out. You see a way out, but you can't reach it." "I don't know what to do," he sobbed. "It's difficult," sighed Dragon Mother, "but try to think about your dreams." "Dreams? Now my dreams is to get out of here. I have no other dreams." "So focus on that," she said calmly, "and do everything to make it come true." Draco didn't understand what she meant. Maybe she meant that he should eat the soup instead of letting it go to waste. Because without food, he wouldn't have the strength to survive. Or perhaps she meant that he should let Nila bandage his wounds, since, starved and wounded, he wouldn't be able to even try to fly away from here. If so, it meant that Dragon Mother believed in him. However, before he could ask, she flew away. "Maybe I too should believe in myself." "Believe, believe, believe," the echo repeated. From then on, Draco ate everything Dragon Mother brought him. Still, his anger was present, but when the visiting dragons were telling him how beautiful it was outside and what they were doing, he wanted to scream. But then he began to wonder why they were doing it. Perhaps they wanted him to feel ordinary again, or at least to see in his mind's eyes what they were talking about, and for a while to forget about his predicament. His anger subsided as he began to understand them. He was so touched when Nila one day came and, as if nothing had ever happened, began dressing his wounds. He thought then that she had needed time. "I thought you wouldn't come back," he whispered. "I'm here. I've been here all the time." "How so?" he asked, surprised. "I was on an expedition to get the fire flower. Otherwise, I wouldn't have anything to treat you with."
"So you weren't here?"
"I was here, in my thoughts," Nila replied.
"I'm glad you are here.
I think it's a miracle, because I was sure you didn't want to know me anymore. Some of the best things in life are miracles disguised as second chances," smiled Nila. When she left, he couldn't fall asleep. The moonlight was illuminating the walls, lighting up the stones at the bottom of the chasm and the snails crawling up towards the sky. Draco wanted to be as calm as they are. He took a few deep breaths, took another look at the crawling creatures, and already knew. This place he was in could be a chasm or a mountain, and it was only up to him to decide what it would become. He'd always wanted to climb the highest mountain. Maybe this was that mountain? Maybe that's why Dragon Mother wanted him to think about his dreams. Because only then do you not forget who you are. He looked up at the illuminated sky and carefully, step by step, began to climb. At times he slipped, but he persevered. When he reached his destination, it was almost dawn. A familiar landscape appeared before his eyes. The sunrise and his friends who were catching the first rays, sitting right next to the Chasm Mountain. He looked at Dragon Mother and at Nila's tired eyes. Somewhere in his heart, he knew that the anger he had felt while he had been down there caused them a lot of pain. But seeing them all there, he realized that there is something beyond that, which is love. And whatever happens, it is always there.